Thanks, Pastor Nolan, for that prayer time. Appreciate your heart and how it really how Holy Spirit is moving. How Holy Spirit moves in such a great way. It's interesting how God's word just connects to our lives each and every day. I hope that you realize that. I hope that you're in your word. I hope that you are digging deep and then just realizing, wow, God's word is alive, it's active, it is something that is relevant for my each and every day. And I'm just sometimes amazed. I don't know why I'm still amazed. I've been a Christian for a handful of years. I'm still amazed how God's word just is such truth, and it's so life-giving, and it's so real and so practical. And so as we dig deep today in God's word, this is a sermon series we've been taking and tackling on is the seven churches of Revelation. And so these as I'm researching and reading and doing a lot of different study for this sermon series, I'm finding some really fun stuff, and I just want to give and distribute that to you. And so I just want to say up front that a lot of this material, I mean, the stuff that I use and just like taking from other sources and things like that and putting in a sermon and just kind of wrapping it all together and then trying to apply it to my life, trying to apply it to our lives and bring it to us as a church so that we know what to do with God's word, right? So that's study. That's Bible study. I want to encourage you to do that because you got to look at the word as the ultimate source. But there's also areas in life and commentaries and other things and other documents that can really help that out. And so I just want to I wanted to share with you that it's so fun to sermonize. I love doing it, and it's fun because you get to just learn and gather a bunch of great information, and then just apply it to us here, right in this community for such a time as this. And so I've been having fun. Just want to let you know that. And so hopefully you've been having fun too, but this is sometimes feel like, well, we're here just where it's exciting because the Word of God is exciting. But when we go back in history, we look at it and we look at a lot of different content, it can be like, oh man, let's get to the point. So I'll hurry up and get to the point. But I want to get to the idea of Jesus, the one who is giving this revelation. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ given to John. And so let's take a look at that picture really quick, Lexi, on what Jesus looks like as we are discovering what he's trying to share. So this was one of the better pictures I found online of the actual picture or the description of the messenger, which is Jesus Christ, to the Apostle John and on the Isle of Patmos. And so as we see Jesus there and just glowing, there, if you can't really see it very well, but out of his mouth is a double-edged sword. Out of his mouth is a double-edged sword. And that is, of course, is the word of God, as he is the one proclaiming God's word, his word, life-giving. And then he's in his right hand, he's holding seven stars. Seven stars, which are the seven angels to the seven churches. And the churches are represented in this picture and in God's word as lampstands. They're golden lampstands. They're the seven churches of Revelation. And so we're going through there. So if you're new today, if this is the first time back at church in a while, or I just wanted to give you a quick update on what's going on. And so we're going to be talking about the church of Smyrna today. Smyrna, what a name. I mean, I thought Dighton was a rough name for a church. Sorry, no offense to y'all Dightonites. Smyrna. I mean, Smyrna, well, however you want to say it, it's a rough name for a church. I like those names where it's like easy to remember, you know, like Lakeside Church or Woodland Church or whatever. This is a rough name, I'll just have to be honest. Smyrna Church is one of the churches that is in one of the seven stars represented in Jesus' right hands. I'm sorry, the seven lampstands. The stars are the angels that are overseeing those. And so Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 and 11 is where we're at. And let me just read this as in its entirety this morning so it can kind of give us what's going on to the church in Smyrna. So to the angel of the church of Smyrna, write, these are the words of him who is the first and last, who died and came to life again. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know about the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Verse 10, don't be afraid of what you're about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. Verse 11, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who is victorious will not be hurt at all by the second death. Now, wow. Again, I like to start with verse 11. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. I wish that John or Jesus, who do we blame on this one? I wish they would put that first, right? It's kind of like, hey, listen up, everybody. I've got something to say. Right? I wish they would have put that first, but it's like the progression, that's always at the end for some reason. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And so I tell you today, before I start, if I were to write this, I didn't, but if I were to write this passage of Scripture and I want to share with you today, the first thing I want you to do this morning is listen up. Listen to what the Spirit has to say, not what Pastor Jim has to say. Not what your commentary has to say, but let's listen to the Holy Spirit. So I want to take a moment really quick. I want to take a moment and let's just take a moment of Spirit listening, shall we? Let's listen to the Spirit. Let's just pray. Holy Spirit, as we've prayed early this morning, you are welcome in this place. As we have prayed around the sanctuary this week, and I have asked for your Spirit to come in and move in a mighty way, you are invited in this place into our hearts and our lives. And so I pray that you would open our hearts, open our minds, open our ears today to what you have to say through your holy word. Amen. And so we see this church. The church in Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, they're commended for their faithfulness in the face of persecution. Now, Smyrna was a persecuted church. They were commended by Christ that said, listen, you have been faithful. Good job. I want to encourage you to remain steadfast despite all of the suffering that you've have had to endure. And so this message to the church highlights endurance and faithfulness during the trials. This word, interestingly enough, Smyrna means myrrh, has this kind of connection to myrrh, that an offering of sacrifice. You remember what myrrh is? Remember back in when Jesus was born? Jesus was blessed, was anointed with frankincense and myrrh. And so I found it pretty interesting that this actual word, the root word, means sacrifice. So do you ever think, like, I mean, how rude it is? How rude to anoint a brand new baby to this world with this ointment of sacrifice, this myrrh spice. And so I found that quite interesting. Now, we're going to talk about Christmas come Christmas time, but I thought that was pretty cool. You know, like the actual spice that Jesus was anointed with, the frankincense, but the myrrh was one of sacrifice and foreshadowing and foretelling that Jesus will be the ultimate sacrifice. Wow, that's cool. And so as we see Smyrna being this church of sacrifice, so to speak, the one who is enduring through all of the persecution, Smyrna is the church that suffered through the martyrdom. Smyrna, of course, is located in that area in which we're talking about, ancient, which we now know as like Turkey area today. And it's kind of in the same area in which all the rest of the seven churches are. And so it wouldn't be anything for John or some of those people who to make a circuit to each of those seven churches. And so this is I read that it's a beautiful commercial center with a beautiful harbor. You see, it's a beautiful city. And so as we dissect this church a little bit, we want to see some of the things that they're being persecuted for. And I want to show you a quick video to kind of help us understand persecution in today's society.
Do you want me to look at you guys or the camera? Okay. You know, being a Christian, it's not always easy.
The things that I've been through, they're hard to talk about.
My life has been constant persecution.
Yeah, this is the first time I've had to talk about this, so I don't know. I'm just kind of nervous. It's a lot. Okay. I mean, choosing to live for God, there's consequences no one tells you about. First time I realized I was under persecution was June of 2017. I walked in the church and it was freezing. I asked them what the temperature was and they said it was 71. I asked them to raise it up to something a little warmer and they wouldn't. Sorry.
Ugh.
I remember walking into the sanctuary on a Sunday morning, and some stupid family was sitting in my spot, the spot I've been sitting in for years. And so I looked around, I had to find some other spot. I had to sit in some other chair. It was awful. And then just when I thought it couldn't get any worse, I was handed communion bread, and it was stale. It was awful. It tasted like cardboard, and I look at the label, and it's not even dairy and gluten-free. This was after I already ate it, and the thing is, I'm not allergic, but I could have been. You know, I could have been.
Just last week, I wasn't greeted when I walked through the doors, walked into church. We started worshiping, and I looked at the screen. I couldn't read the words. The text was too small. Like, I'm not perfect 20/20. One of my eyes is I got a headache. I came to worship, and it's just not possible. How am I supposed to worship if I can't even read the words on the screen? So his sermon goes long. All my friends are already at Applebee's. All the appetizers are gone. I missed the kickoff. They want me to pay full price for my entree.
I show up here every Sunday. They forgot to put my birthday in the bulletin. And they put some new guy who's been here for, 3 months? Oh, he's in there, but not me.
My family is all dressed up, and we stop when we get in to take a photo together. There's a really pretty photo booth. But then I open Instagram to take a photo, and it won't load because the Wi-Fi is too slow.
I just don't know if I can be in a place where I'm convicted all the time.
I sneezed, and they just said, bless you. They just took God out of bless you.
Program times during the week don't fit my kid's sports schedule.
It's happy holidays? Where's the Christmas?
A sunrise service? Are you kidding me?
Who does that?
I bring my kids to youth group. I go play poker. I come back. I expect the youth pastor.
I mean, the fact that
something.
They took Christ.
My
out
kids
of
still don't know Jesus.
I
like, what is he doing? That's his fault.
And
said,
oh, and get this. We have golf carts to
like,
pick people up in parking lots. So it's a long walk. Guy picks up a newcomer instead of me. Been coming here for, I don't know, 6 months.
This can't go on. This is.
You don't understand the humor in that. I thought that was pretty interesting when we were talking about persecution, right? It's like, wow, it's funny. It was meant to be a joke, but yet, is there any truth to that for us? Is there anything within us as the church today that we're just like so frustrated with our church, right? It's like, oh my goodness, they didn't have coffee today, or my seat was taken, or you get my point. And I think that's the point here, is that we don't know persecution as the American church. We don't know persecution. I mean, we need to think about, as Valerie so greatly put it this morning, thinking about our Israeli brothers and sisters in Christ who are suffering right now. And we need to be praying for Israel. We need to be standing beside them in prayer. And that's persecution. And so as we think of this, I thought I'd play something a little bit lighthearted today, but with all seriousness in mind, it's thinking about what is it that we are facing today? Is there anything truly? And so I want to take a look at this church of Smyrna and see what we can learn, what we can glean from what Jesus is saying to this church. And by the way, this is one of only two churches in the seven that has not been condemned or looked down upon or any kind of prophetic consequence or criticism out of the whole seven churches. And this is the one that Jesus encourages and tries to uplift and really praises them for their persecution. And so as Jesus opens up in verse 8, talks about this wonderful church that Christ describes himself as the first and the last. He describes himself of one who became dead and lived again. I thought that was pretty interesting. The first and the last to teach us that there's nothing before Christ and there will be nothing to follow him. He's the first, he's the last. Jesus describes himself as the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. Christ was there at the beginning of creation. He will preside over the very end of time. And he also describes himself as he who became dead and lived again. Speaks of the cross, speaks of the burial, and speaks of his resurrection. See, the fact that Christ was triumphant over death is the single factor of our faith that gives us hope. And so Christ conquered. And so the church in Smyrna suffered persecution of various kinds. And so I want to take a look at, there's about seven little sayings I picked apart that Jesus spoke to. And first of all, I was talking about a tribulation. This early church suffered much affliction for the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't the great tribulation, but it was a tribulation for them. It was a trial. There was a period for this church that was struggle. Jesus talked secondly about poverty, about the poverty of the church, about how they weren't rich in wealth, they weren't rich in money, they weren't rich in possessions, but the church of Smyrna, it was rich when it came to other things like spiritual matters. And so as we look at what this church represented, was not worldly wealth, not material things, but wealthy in spiritual matters. You see, the world that we live in only sees one-dimensionally. It sees that you either have or you have not. You're either rich or you're poor. Either that you've got some things and material things, and yet, or you don't have anything at all. And in fact, we put people in categories. We put churches in categories. We put politicians we put everybody in different categories according to how much money they have. So I encourage us as the Church of Dighton, are we rich in the right things? Now, we have some money in the bank, and of course, we're saving up for a new building We're continually praying about that and asking God's direction, and we're meeting regularly as a building committee, and we're talking about building for God's kingdom, not necessarily our own benefit. Of course, it's going to be fantastic, but you see, we want to be sure that we're not just a church that has things and buildings and money in the bank, because that all will fade away. And so as Jesus was talking about and giving a great encouragement to this church of Smyrna, it was spiritual things that they were rich in. And so the encouragement was in this spiritually rich. Thirdly, Jesus said something about those deceivers calling themselves Jews, that basically that there was people that infiltrated the church, that they had come to Christ, or come to at least the church, and they called themselves Jews on the outside, but they weren't in the inside. So this has a little bit of a I want to uncover this one just a little for us today, understanding that when we become Christians, we take upon the name of Jesus Christ. Now, the word Jew and Gentile for us really doesn't mean a lot here in America. But when we take on Jesus as our Lord, as our Savior, as the one in whom we serve, we take upon the name of Jesus. And I think what Jesus is talking about here, and he's talking about that there's some in the midst of you that are simply putting on the face of Christianity. They're just simply taking on the aura of Christianity and talking about all of the good things, talking the talk, knowing what to say, all of the Christianese and the religiosity and how you act. And so I think what Jesus is kind of saying is that there are people in the church that they're saying they're Jews, but they're really not acting. They're really not. They're deceiving. And so I understand this as inwardly being a Christian, not just outwardly. And so that, when I was reading through that, I thought, well, the point is that we don't want to slander the name of Jesus. We don't want to take upon the name of Jesus or take the Lord's name in vain. To simply say, I'm a Christian and not act like one. And so there is one that Jesus calls out, some of those, not necessarily the church that it was harboring them, but some in the church that they had to be careful. Fourthly, Jesus said, don't fear the things you're about to suffer, verse 10. Don't fear those things. I mean, talking about that there will be suffering. History has told us that millions have gone to their death because of their Christianity. Even today, I read that Christianity is the most persecuted major religion in the world. Have you ever stopped to consider what personally you may be called to do, to suffer, to be persecuted in the name of Lord Jesus Christ? And are you willing and are you able and you ready? Again, is the extent of our suffering, quote unquote, that somebody sat in our seat in church? Is that the extent of our suffering? Or they don't sing the songs I like, or the preacher doesn't preach from the Bible passages that I like, or is that the extent of our persecution? And are we ready? Are we ready as a church to be persecuted? Now, sidebar, I'm personally preparing my life, my everything, because this world is crazy, if you haven't checked lately. I mean, as a pastor, I've got to think of things in the future that I see happening on the news. I see happening all throughout the world. I see happening in our country. As a pastor, I've got to prepare myself. I've got to prepare myself to lose my job completely if I don't marry homosexuals in this building today. I've got to be willing. The government may come in and say, listen, you're done. We're going to take away your license. I mean, we all have to be willing to prepare ourselves for the day that comes when we are truly persecuted for what God's word says. And are you and I ready for that time? Are we ready to stand up for major persecution for our faith? The fifth thing that Jesus had said is the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you may be tried. And I thought that was interesting. I mean, like, hey, encouragement time. There's a handful of you who are going to be cast into prison. You won't be here next week, by the way. You're going to be in prison for Jesus' sake. But we should be sure that you have Facebook Live, because we'll just, while you're in prison for a while, you're just going to be able to look at it on your phone. How about that for a great sermon? I don't think you'd be walking back there and saying, good sermon, Pastor. Thank you for the encouragement. You see, today we tend to put the blame on the person who might persecute us, or the country that might persecute us, or the organization that would bring persecution upon us. But in this passage of Scripture, let me read verse 10, and I want you to figure out who we should be putting blame. Verse 10, do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil, hint, hint, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you. You will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and then I will give you life as your victor's crown. So the answer to the test is what? The devil. The devil's the one. We've realized that he is the one. He's the root. He's the trouble. Number six, Jesus said that this church in Smyrna, you will have affliction for 10 days. I mean, that's an interesting, why 10 days, right? And of course, as you realize, as we've talked a little bit, Revelation is full of numbers, full of different word pictures, full of different things that may mean prophetically throughout time. And so as I was studying and researching this, one of an explanation is that there will be 10 intense time periods for the church. And some have even said from all the way from Nero in 64 AD to Diocletian all the way to 313. And you see, as I was reading, my eyes were open. I thought, holy cow, this is interesting. 10 periods of affliction that the church has faced. And so, like I said, I don't claim to be an authority on each and every prophetic message that Jesus has given, but I thought this was pretty interesting, that he said, you will have affliction for 10 days. Now, does that mean 24-hour periods? We don't know, but some say it's going to be for the days, like the days, according to time, can be years and years and years. And so this is a warning for us today that it could be some of the worst persecution is yet to come for the church. Seventhly, Jesus said this. He said that the church of Smyrna are in the form of a charge to be faithful until death. Be faithful until death. For those faithful until death, Christ promises us to give the crown of life. I think it was Mother Teresa has this famous quote that I love, that I love, that I love. And it says, God doesn't call us to be successful, but God calls us to be faithful. I love it. You feel me in that? I mean, I'm like, wow, that's wisdom. God doesn't call us to be a successful church. He calls us to be faithful. And when we're faithful to the call, when we're faithful to Christ, when we're faithful in our passion, in our works, in our love for each other, the crown of life is the eternal crown. See, many of you in here today are faithful, have been faithful, will continue to be faithful. And the crown of life, this promise of eternity, the promise of heaven, is going to be your reward. James chapter 1, verse 12. James chapter 1, I believe I have it up there, says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. There's a promise found back in Revelation chapter 20. It says, blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. The crown of life that is the greatest word of praise means that you are going to live a beautiful life one day, and then you will enter into glory with our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this word second death, I love how, let me go to verse 11. Let's jump back to verse 11. And it talks about this. Verse 11, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who is victorious will not be hurt at all by the second death. And so the second death, this word second death is interesting because we're those who are born once will die twice. Those who are born once will die twice. Well, you're born into this world as an infant, as a child, as a baby, obviously, and you will die twice. Once when the body dies, and then twice when you are thrown into an eternity called hell. That's the second death. And so if you were born once, you will die twice. But if you're born twice, you die once. If you're born of this earth, and if you're born again into salvation and the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, you put off the old and you bring in the new and say, Jesus is my Lord, and I'm going to ask him for forgiveness of all of my sins. If you're born twice, you only die once. And so we die once in the physical, but our spirit lives forever in eternity. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for that. If you're born once, you die twice. If you're born twice, you die once. And so we thank God for that because of the saving grace of Jesus. So I love how Jesus ends this part and this encouragement to the church. He's saying, keep going. Keep persevering. Keep striving. And I think if we were to kind of wrap this up this morning and we realize that what is God saying to us today? Some of you are in here are tired. Some in here are tired, not just physically tired because you stayed up too late last night. But maybe some in here today, you're tired of being a Christian. You're just like, I'm so sick of the dreary. I'm so sick of all of the rules. I'm so sick of coming to church. I'm so sick. I'm so sick. I'm so sick and tired. You see, I want to encourage you today. Keep going. Keep going. If there's a sin in your life, if you're struggling with something in your life that you keep turning around and there's sin and you're just like, I just want to give up. I'm so sick of this Christianity thing. No. The message today is keep going. Keep going. Keep persevering. Thinking about the crown of life, thinking about the eternal reward that we will get, and we won't have to face the second death. The second death in which our spirit is thrown into hell for all of eternity. And it's not necessarily a second death. It's that it's a life separate from God. It's a life that is filled of eternity. There's no ending to separation from God. And so I encourage you today, whether you're in this room or if you're listening online this morning, I encourage you to give your life to Jesus Christ today. I would encourage you to relinquish your will, relinquish your ways, and just give it over to Jesus. All you have to do is simply pray and say, God, forgive me of all my sins. I know I'm a sinner. I know that I've messed up. I've made mistake after mistake after mistake, and I need salvation. So today, is there anybody that would accept that free gift of salvation today? Simply saying, I need Jesus in my life. If you're in here today, you just want to raise your hand and say, I need Jesus and I have never done this before. Is there anybody today that has never accepted Jesus that just wants to say, yeah, just pray for me? Those of you who are online listening, I encourage you to type in the notes there in the chat just to say, I need Jesus and I need prayer. We'd love to pray with you. Church, let's keep persevering. Let's keep going. Persecution is coming if you've not already experienced it yet. So we've got to be strong. We've got to be courageous. So he who has an ear, let them hear. what the Spirit is saying to our church. Let's all stand together. Father in heaven, we are so thankful for your warnings and your prophecy and some of the things that I have to admit, Lord, it's like over our heads, but I think that's okay because, Lord, I know that you have given us the main point. You've given us the main theme, and so we thank you for that today. I pray, God, that today each and every person with the sound of my voice would have a saving knowledge of Jesus, that they would have understood who the Lord of their life is, and that we would continue to persevere as we look to the crown of life that is to come. We worship you now and in thanksgiving.